Hey, Kingdom, I just wanted to give you a little warning that one of our live musicians had a little bit of a funky connection, so the sound quality will be a little different than you usually expect from us. I hope it doesn't distract you too much as you listen in to this powerful episode. Enjoy. This is Justin Michael Williams, and welcome to the Kingdom Podcast. This is for everyone. All beliefs are welcome here. And so it doesn't matter if you call it God, spirit, the universe, crystals, science, or unicorns. You are welcome here. This is our moment to connect to something greater. This is our moment to remember how powerful we really are. Welcome to the kingdom. We begin each session with a prayer. Let's begin. God, spirit, universe, all that is, all that ever has been, and all that ever will be, we thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be healthy enough during these times to be here together, to take in this message and to be here with one another in community. Thank you for the waking up that's happening in our world so that we can come together. Thank you for allowing us to be here, and may we each hear the exact message that we need for our hearts today, and may we have the courage to share that message out with the people that we love. Thank you for giving us this breath, thank you for giving us this moment, and thank you for giving us the resilience to know that no matter what is going on in our lives or in the world, that we are not alone, that we can rest in your trust, and that there is more supporting us than we will ever know. Thank you. This is your moment for your personal prayer. So just welcome in whatever your traditional prayer is, or you can just set an intention for today's session. God, spirit, universe, all that is, all that ever has been, all that ever will be, we thank you. Let all the words that are spoken today by me, by our special guests, and by everyone in the chat box joining us from around the world today be used to benefit the hearts and minds of all. May any harm that is done intentionally or unintentionally be transmuted and used for transformation and growth. Thank you. So it is. Ashe, Aho, Salam, Shalom, Amen, Satnam, Om. Thank you. So here we are. Have you arrived? So today's session is a very special session called The Power of Intra-Connection. Now, I want you to know that I'm not saying interconnection. I'm saying intra-connection. And so many of you know and have heard that we've been in a deep process right now with our community. A couple hundred of you are in the process of the liberation experience with me. And if you're new to this community and you haven't heard about the liberation experience, it's a program where we've brought people together across divides, across cultural divides. And we start the group as one, but then we split into what we're calling infinity groups, not affinity groups, based upon our cultural identity. And we're doing similar work in the same at the same time period, but in a slightly different container, so that we can have the freedom to really go deep and have the conversation without causing harm, and then we come back together. And this is why it's called infinity and not affinity, because it's not about separating us. It's about taking us apart so that we can weave back together, healing the past and the present in the now. The past and the future in the now. And so there was an interview that we did in the Liberation Experience a couple weeks ago with an incredible guest named Dan Siegel, who I know that many of you know. He's a pretty incredible author and speaker and leader, New York Times best-selling author and speaker. And he came in to talk about intraconnection. And something in my spirit, I know I've never done this with you all at the Kingdom, told me that I needed to play that interview, show that interview to all of you publicly so we could spread that out to the world. And so listen with your heart as you're there with me and Dan Siegel and Shelley Tegelsky in the Liberation Experience as we talk about the power of intraconnection. Hey everybody, Justin Michael Williams here with Shelley Tegelsky with the Liberation Experience. And we are so excited and so honored to have Dr. Dan Siegel with us today. And Dan has been an incredible mentor, friend, family to both Shelley and me. And we are so excited to also welcome him into this community, to this family, to this tribe, this collective that we're building together. And I'll give the professional kind of a little bio of him in a moment, but I first just want to thank you, Dan, for coming in and spending your time and dedicating some time to this community.
It's an honor and great to be here with both of you.
So Dan is a pioneer in the field of interpersonal neurobiology. And I know for some of you guys are like, okay, wait, what? What is that? You know, like, what does that mean? I know we have some varying experiences of science and no science at all and schooling and all and ages here in this group. And so we're going to break this all down so beautifully for you today because we're here to talk about something called the science of intraconnection. Intraconnection. And it's so fascinating because when I first wrote this out, when Shelley and I were first working on this, we had said interconnection, right? And then we had a conversation with Dan, and Dan was like, not quite. And so I was thinking, Dan, if you could just like jump in with us a little bit first, just about that differentiation alone between interconnection and intraconnection. Yeah. And why this topic is even important as it relates to our lives and social justice and the work we're doing in the world right now.
Beautiful. Good. Well, Justin, thank you for all the work you do. And Shelley, thank you for all the work you do. I feel very honored and mentored by you two. So it's a mutual club of mentorship. You know, it's so interesting because if you're listening to us, you might think, well, these people are really obsessed with words. You know, on one level, interconnection, the word inter, between, is so beautiful because in our world, especially in the United States, it is the most individualistic country that scientists have been able to identify. So an individual isn't even really connected, or they just get, you know, in connection to people who are like them with their beliefs or their skin color or ethnicity or whatever. And so there isn't connection. So we want to say, yes, 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 we're all connected to each other. And that's a beautiful thing. So this is not to take the word interconnection and say it's bad. When we were having our conversation, what I've been feeling as both a person on the planet with everything going on with the pandemic, and the pandemics in plural, you know, of the social injustice that we're realizing has been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years in this caste system we've been living in, the pandemic of environmental destruction, and the pandemic of the virus that leads to COVID-19 as a disorder, a disease, those pandemics are making us realize we're all interconnected. That is, we're individuals and we're hugely connected to all other individuals. So as I was feeling into that, you know, as a person on the planet, but then as a person trained both as a clinician and a scientist, I started feeling like, you know, that word is great, but there's something not quite right about it. And I thought, what's not quite right about it? And I did this three-day retreat in the woods all by what was called myself, in the sense of I was all alone, but it transformed into not just alone time, but all one time. And when I came out and a bunch of us were together, I was just feeling into it. And I said, you know, it wasn't that I was interconnected with the forest. It wasn't like me in the forest and that was really cool, the trees and me. No, the trees were me. And this body was me. And there was a whole, that's the intra part, that had connections within the whole. So when you were bringing it up, I thought, well, what's the word that captures that feeling? And that's where the idea of intra connection, if even as a symbol, you go, well, what does that mean, intra connection? Because I thought it's interconnection. You go, well, what's the difference? So if we start to live as if the whole were us, that other human beings are us, it's not that there's an individual here, an individual there, you know, with Shelley and Justin and Dan. It's that there's a whole with connections within the whole that we might look at as having a name for the parts. But really what I wanted this word to represent was there's a wholeness there that we can live into. And I think that's really where the world needs to go.
And Dan, I know Shelley has a question coming up, but one thing that I had just pulled up right now, because I never thought of this before, but like we have interstate highways and we also have like intra, you know, like meaning interstate highways is going between two states, right? And like an intrastate highway or an intra highway means, it says it right here, it's like within one group or within one state. So it's like looking at this very differently. It's like, are we separate people connecting or are we one group that has differentiation that's also connecting? So it's, we're gonna dig into this a lot more deeply, but I thought the highway example that I just pulled up was relevant.
Very relevant.
No, totally is. I mean, it's, I do actually want to have a question about this, the term differentiation as well, because I think, you know, it's important for us to be differentiated in some ways, but if we're too differentiated, then it creates these like divides, right? So I guess for me, I'm thinking like, if we're intra-connected, like, are we really that differentiated? Should we be differentiated? Are we like just different parts of an organism that like has to come together in order to work as an ecosystem? And we're all playing different roles, or are we all sort of playing the same role, but we are just, you know, trying to lead into the same direction at this point in order to be more efficient as an ecosystem?
Yeah, Shelley, it's such a great question. And, you know, it builds on this difference between the interstate highway and the intrastate highway that Justin's pointing out. And I guess to begin to address that great question is, you know, underneath all this is the idea that there's a system. And from that view, this collection of, let's just call it stuff, which could be things or it could be happenings. So it could be noun-like entities that are kind of separate, or it can be verb-like events that are hugely interconnected or influencing each other. So from either point of view, we have what's called a system, which is a collection of stuff. Now, if it's a complex system, it optimizes its flow toward harmony by differentiating its elements, just like you're beautifully pointing out, and then linking them to each other. And then if you block either the differentiation of the elements, so people aren't allowed to be different, or you block linkage where the connections aren't established, you then move to chaos or you move to rigidity. So in many ways, let's take slavery as an example. You've differentiated to the point where you say, you know, something, people with white skin from Europe are going to steal people from Africa with dark skin, and then we're going to enslave them. And in that differentiation, excessive differentiation, I'm not going to allow any linkages. So there you see the rigidity of slavery and the very understandable push to, you know, maintain this caste system, you know, by the dominant caste, the white caste in America, and the very understandable push to say, no, we don't want to live in this caste system where we're dehumanized. So that is a good example of impaired integration.
kind of
there's too much differentiation,
chaos, right? That itself created chaos, like, because all of the forced differentiation and no linkage, it's like there, it's always trying to move itself towards some sense of harmony. Do you find that? Like, it's trying to, does a chaos emerge because it's trying to move itself towards harmony?
I think, yeah, because exactly what you're saying, Justin, complex systems has a natural push towards harmony, right? It's very natural. It's like a jazz band that's getting together and they're doing improv, but they've differentiated their own voices and their own instruments and done the work. And now they can come together for a beautiful, incredible, spontaneous jam session that they have. And you can mm-hmm. feel it when it's going really well. But in the case of slavery, and I think we're seeing this, you know, the human brain can excessively differentiate by shutting off what I call mindsight circuits, or seeing that another human being is a human being, and instead treat them like a piece of dirt. And you saw this, you see this not only with the racism in America, you saw it in Nazi Germany. And in Isabel Wilkerson's fantastic book, Cast, she talks about how the Nazis turned to America to figure out how could they destroy the Jews, because Americans had destroyed people who are of African descent. You know, I mean, just incredible. So this is this terrible capacity of human beings to excessively differentiate, and doing that, shutting off the way we use mindsight to say, you're a human being and I'm a human being, so how do we actually treat each other with kindness and care, which would be a more integrated way of doing that. Compassion and kindness are integration made visible. And this is the world we could live in.
Hold on, that was a quote.
That's
amazing. We need a quote there for everybody. Compassion and kindness are integration made visible. That's like, I feel like we need to like pause there and have you just unflower, like let that flower bloom a little bit more for us, Dan, for people who are hearing this for the first time. Like, what does that mean?
Well, thanks, Justin. It really builds on Shelley's great question and your point too, which says when we differentiate, honor differences, and not just tolerate them, thrive because of them, and promote compassionate, kind linkages, you see, where you say, you don't need to be like me, but you and I are part of a whole. And in being this part of the whole, this is where the intraconnection comes in. You know, we're actually members of the same system. So this is why, you know, the intraconnection word, you know, allows differentiation to be honored, allows linkage to be honored, and at the same time says, you know, like, for example, let's take racism in America, says, if I'm a part of a whole, and that's for human beings, but also part of whole with all nature, how could I possibly dehumanize people of different skin tone? That would make no sense when I realize I'm a part of a whole. Or how could I destroy the planet when in fact the planet is me, right? So this is where I think we need to move as a human family to an awareness. And I think your Liberation Project and the Infinity Groups are a great example of, you know, honoring, I think, you know, integration and how we don't ignore the differentiated histories we have, both across time, you know, past, present, future, and in the present moment within our own, you know, essence, and then link to each other. So it's kind of this fluid thing. We can get into the science of it, that I think there's a vulnerability we have as human beings that make it hard, because your question, Justin, is so great. Doesn't it want to happen naturally? I think the answer is yes. But then energy gets invested for reasons we can talk about.
That's so interesting. So we have so much to unpack. Shelley, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I just, you know, first of all, Dan, every time you speak, it's like my mind, maybe because I'm just a visual person, so flowery. Like I get all of these images that rush into my brain when you speak. And so taking it back to the forest, you know, as you were speaking, I'm imagining that here we are, we're all these like individual trees coming together collectively in a forest. We're all very different, right? An oak tree, a pine tree, a sequoia, whatever we are. And yet we're all interconnected in this like root system. We have to communicate with each other. And so we're sitting now in this world where the world is on fire. The world is on fire. And there's no time to say like, okay, only the redwoods are going to be saved, y'all. Like everybody's, you know, we have to communicate intricately through these systems, this root system, and we have to get back to the basics. And that's like literally what just came up to me as you were just speaking in your beautiful prose. So thank you
for that. As you're saying, Shelley, too, like I'm, as you said, like only the redwoods are going to be saved. Like that mindset, right, would actually still cause the whole forest to burn down.
Correct.
Right. Yes. And so like, but that's often what we're doing right now. Like, oh, only this community or only people who think this way or only. And so that's where we're really getting into in this program of like, how do we build a future where all the trees, like it's better, a better forest for everyone, you know, which feels really important.
Well, that I think brings up the question of like, so the brain's vulnerability, of course, is that we think of ourself as just the body, like ourself is just here. This is who we are, right? So, you know, you talk a lot about this concept of mui, and I want to get into that because the first time I heard you use that term was actually at the University of Miami. And I remember like having this aha moment, and I actually took really copious notes that day. And I went back and looked at my notes, and you said this, you said that we should think of the ocean and that if we can imagine if the hydrogen atoms started fighting with the oxygen atoms over whose identity was more important. And you relate it back to like what we're essentially doing as a society in this caste system that we're in, you know, that we're fighting over whether hydrogen or oxygen atoms were either one of those. And we're like just missing this point that we're part of this whole ecosystem. So I want to, and if that was such a beautiful explanation, that was an aha moment for me. And I want to really delve into what does mui mean? And in the simplest terms, and then maybe we can kind of delve a little bit more into how it can relate to these racial divides or the caste system that we're living in today.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you, Shelley.
Can I insert one thing?
Of course.
For people out there who are like, hold on. So for everybody, hydrogen and oxygen, H2O, right? So that's like Shelley's talking about, like, it takes the hydrogen and the oxygen coming together to create water. And so that's where like the ocean reference comes from. So I just want to make sure everybody's fully landing.
Just its individual parts. So this is the point. So just to do a teeny bit of the science, the human brain, you know, in a sad kind of way, I'm just feeling the feelings of it, but let's just be scientific about it. The human brain has a way that it's shaped by the experiences it has. But once you're in this incarnation as a human, you know, when you come out of the womb, and even before that, you start to be shaped by experiences. Now, one aspect of the networks of the brain is to develop a sense of self. And it turns out that that phrase, sense of self, is actually fundamental to things like who you think you are, called identity, or what and whom you're connected to, your belonging, right? So identity and belonging are then emerging from your sense of self, which is shaped by your experience. So in modern culture, not like indigenous cultures, but in modern times, the message that we get at home from our parents, in school from our teachers and our peers, and then from the social setting of media, including social media now, and even from science, is that there's this thing called self that's pretty much the same as your body. Or if you're into the brain, you'd say, oh, it's your brain and your head. So in some cultures, you say, where are you? You go, I'm up here, you know. In either event, whether it's the head alone or the whole body, you use the body as kind of a spatial way of thinking about where am I? Who am I? And this problem with identifying the self with the body means that, okay, only this body matters, and that's called narcissism. And if I'm running a family, that's going to be a problem, or running a company, that's going to be a problem, or running a country or a organization, large organization with lots of influence, that's going to be a problem. If it's all about me, 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 me in this body, or I can make me just my quote family with people who I share this genetic, you know, origin, where it's my children or my parents or whatever. So I can make the me be extended to me's that are still bodily based, right? Or it may not even be just a body, like people with skin color like mine, or other categories of, you know, of origin of country or stuff like that. You can make your beliefs. So people can have like an extended me that's just people in my religion. And if you don't believe what I believe about the nature of existence and God, you know, you're in what's called the out group. And I'm only going to care for people nicely and be kind and considerate to people in the in group. So the brain, for about 50 million years of primate history, has had this in group, out group distinction it makes. And then for, you know, some people say 4 million, some people say 200,000 years, whatever it is, for a few hundred thousand years, you've got a very elaborate social system that's building on 50 million years of evolution of in-group, out-group distinction, to now saying, well, I will say the people in my in-group are people who have, oh, let me make up something and let me call it race, right? And then I'm going to say, if you have 1/16th in you, that's the race of people who are purple, we green people are going to not like you purple people. And I think there's about a 1/16th purple in you. And or in the caste system view, it's not even about race. It's about this social system has limited resources, and we need to have the dominant system control everything. And we need the hard jobs to be done by the subordinate caste. And so the caste system, whether it's in India or what was created in Germany, or now what is Wilkerson's view, has been in the United States for 400 years, you know, before it was formed as a country, you know, these caste systems are ways of defining who's the in-group, who's the out-group. So here's the vulnerability. You can have a human being in front of me, and if you show me some kind of information that makes me place them in the out-group, the circuitry of empathy and compassion is shut off. And I literally perceive the person with my eyes as if they were a piece of dirt. You can put them in a brain scanner and show this to the point where it will kill people, literally by the millions. And in these ways that when you look at it, you go, oh my God, how can that happen? The oh my God, how does that happen? Is because we have these human brains. And we've got to do something about it. So that's why I'm so glad you have this project, because it isn't just moving away from that. It's moving toward another way of being, as you're so beautifully talking about in this program. How do we move forward on this planet before we destroy each other and destroy nature?
Well, so what are your thoughts on that? Like, how do we move forward? You know, I mean, I know in a practical way, cultivating compassion and empathy, but on a larger scale, can we right this ship? I'm actually looking to you, for that hope, for that glimmer of hope.
Yeah. Well, I have B positive blood, and I was born on Hope Street, and I weighed 7'11", so I'm very optimistic. You know. So what I would say, and I think this is realistic optimism, though. Really considered scientific analysis that I write about in the different books, including The Developing Mind in the third edition. And, you know, here's what I would say. So we say, okay, well, this is interesting. I am both a body-centered, body-encased me that gets about 100 years to live, but I'm also a relational we, which is my connections with all human beings, so the whole human family, with all of nature. And then not just now, but everything that went before and everything that is going to come. So I'm positioned in space and in time as a member of this larger whole. This is where the intra-connected fits with the mui, because it says, yeah, you get about 100 clock years, you know, to live in this body, and that's your me. Cool. Sleep your body well, you know. Feed your body well, exercise your body, you know, enjoy your body. yay, nothing's wrong with the body. That's the me, you know, and dance when you can and make music. I mean, fantastic, fantastic. And so it's not an or, it's an and you are a relational being. Who you're relating to? All humanity, all of nature, and across time, all ancestors and all descendants. So you situate yourself, and it actually, when you start to live as a mui like this, me plus we equals mui, it changes, at least I can say from the experience of this body, it actually has changed my relationship with death. You know, when you take on an identity of mui, you start to see, I see Shelley, I see Justin as my identity. And when they do well, we do well, right? And then when you see, in terms of the death part, that the bodies we get to live in for about 100 years, whenever it's going to happen that the body's done, you are not done, because we goes on.
Yeah.
And this is a way where you say, okay, let me really take care of this body as best I can. Something's going to happen someday. You know, my mom is 91, and we always talk about this kind of thing. And, you know, you get about 100 years if you're lucky, and fine. So we don't have to dread death. We just see this was the me part of mui, and we continues.
This is so beautiful. That was so beautiful. And something, you know, Shelley and I were talking earlier today just about the loss and the death and the suffering and all of that that's happening in the world. And that's part of our experience of being human, and how this also kind of reframes that even, because when there is even incredible loss or incredible suffering of actual physical me bodies in the world, we're understanding that like there's a different concept of even legacy, because like who we are now like is forever impacted by what happened by those individual bodies who were connected to us throughout the entire process. So it's affecting, like you said, forward and back. Dan, I would love for you to tell, just because I love
this. Can you pause for a second there?
Yeah.
Just think about how powerful what you just said, Justin, is. Really putting a frame on it. Let's just sit with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's big, you know, it's big. I think as we're feeling into our heart and we're all, I think, experiencing like what's happening, you know, in the world, and like the loss, you know, which is what Shelley and I were talking about, and the suffering, I think it even brings into frame more how important this infinity model is in terms of healing the future and the past in the present.
Yeah.
But it's not that it's me in this individual body or you in this individual body. It is that. And like, we are actually connected to what's coming in the future and what happened in the past. So even when we go, we just like continue into that cycle. Like we're continuing to filter through it. And so beautiful. Thank you, Dan.
Yeah.
Can I ask another question now?
Yeah.
So absolutely. I've always just loved the simple story, because I think people are hearing us now throw in this word mui, M-W-E, the story of how this came about for you. I just found it so fascinating. So if you'd be willing to just share that story.
Yeah, sure. You know, I was giving a lecture. I think I called it like from me to we, to try to address a number of things. But one of them was about, you know, what's happening with environmental destruction and how we have too differentiated ourselves from nature, you know? And anyway, so one of my students came up and she said, I'm really angry at you. You know, she was from our online, we have an online program. She was there in an in-person workshop. And so I said, well, what are you angry about? She goes, you're really a hypocrite. You're contradicting yourself with the name of this talk. And I said, well, say more about that. You know, she says, well, the name of the talk is From Me to We. I go, yeah. She goes, well, I know that rhymes, but you've always told us you should be in touch with your body. I said, absolutely. She goes, well, that's me. I go, yeah, that's you. She goes, and you've told us we should make sense of our own attachment history. I said, yeah. She goes, that's me. I said, yeah, that's you. She goes, well, and I'm supposed to enjoy this body. I said, yeah. She goes, well, that's me. I go, yeah, that's you. So she goes, so why do you say me to we, which implies leaving me out and going to a we identity? I go, oh, well, I didn't mean that. She goes, well, be careful with your words, you know? And so I said, okay, well, what should I say? She goes, well, come up with something more accurate. I said, well, it's more like not only me, but in addition, a we. She goes, that doesn't rhyme at all. And so I kind of looked at her. She's looking at me. There's this silence. And I'm going, oh, my God, this is pressure, you know? And it was really collaborative. But I said, okay, if you're really going to embrace and embody integration, I guess you would go me plus we equals we. And she said, that's it. She says, that's great. That's great. So, you know, it was that conversation, and that's how things emerge, you know, in relationship, like is happening right now with the three of us and hopefully everyone in the project and hopefully everyone on the planet. Because imagine if we move away from the modern cultural view of an individualistic society and not to what anthropologists have identified does exist, a collectivistic culture where there is no me. And it's just about being in a relationship. So this is where we, you know, doesn't really have a prototype, you know, so we're going to be creating it together, you know, as we go forward. And the disruption of the pandemic, you know, is this moment where we, which was, you know, a term and an idea, you know, created way before the pandemic. But the pandemic's disruption, I think, as painful as it is with all the suffering that's here, the loss of lives and livelihoods, just to honor that and all the people who have died and are facing incredible shifts in their lives because of the economic changes and everything, it's just full of suffering. And if we can say this suffering and this disruption in business as usual in a me world could actually be the birthplace for a mobilization of integration, for kindness and compassion to become the integration made visible.
Yeah.
We need to live with this identity, which doesn't get rid of something. It's not a dissolution of the self. It's really an expansion and an integration of the self, an integration of identity and belonging. So I think this really could be something we could gather around, understand it with programs like yours that then let people live it literally from the inside to the inter, you know, and then back inside and into the inter. And it's a simple word, you know, we're collecting in all the different languages on the planet so that whatever language you speak, we can say, how do you integrate me plus we? As a whatever it is, yonos in Spanish, for example, as a muy.
Yonos. Oh my God, I love that. Go ahead, Shelley.
Oh, that's great. That's great. It really is. This is just a perfect lead-in to everything that we've got in store for this liberation experience. It really is. It's sort of like it is an integration experience. We're liberating through this integration, actually.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. And I think just Dan, like one of the things that feels so important to name is we're like kind of bringing this home now. Well, first of all, I'm feeling like I've dropped completely into my heart, like as we've like gone on this journey, just, you know, and I'm hoping people are feeling that as well. I'm feeling this like softness right now. And what I feel called to say is we all have these differentiations that we love and enjoy. Like the gay community, you know, enjoying like, wee, like I get to do these certain things, you know, and like, you know, drag queen shows and this and that. And that's like what we do is like that me or the communities of our cultures or our heritages. And I think what your model presents and the concept of Mui presents, which is why we're really doing this in the beginning to make people understand the framework of where we're coming from, is that you get to keep all that. You get to keep all of that as we integrate into this intra-connected state where it's not, like I wrote in the Ending Racism article, we're not saying put all your cultures and your beliefs in a Vitamix and blend it up and then we all just get one thing. You know, it's no, we get to have our differentiation and the beauty of that, but honor and celebrate each other and know that in our linkage, we're actually stronger. That's the piece, that's it. It's like not just, oh, I honor them or I tolerate them or them over there. It's like, I'm a part of you. And like we are influencing one another. And I think I've never thought about it this way before, Dan, but I'm even thinking of like, okay, like, okay, I'm gonna just try this. It's coming out in real time. So like, we think about different cultures who are growing up in different countries. So like Mexico, right? Okay, so we have Mexico and now people define themselves as Mexican. But like, would Mexico have ever like defined itself as like Mexico or Mexican, like without the other countries that were around it, requiring it to separate itself? Do you know what I mean? And so it's like, even our individuation is an effect of how we're actually all interconnected.
Absolutely. And you know, just to build on that and just say that you know part of the, and you say this I think in Stay Woke so powerfully, you know, part of the challenge is to say, okay, we do have these beautiful differentiations we can have and that's fantastic, and we do have this commonality, we're all born into human bodies, and we can acknowledge, and this is where the work gets kind of hard, what we need to do in waking people up to this integrated identity is acknowledge the fact that we're living in bodies. We need to live from the heart, from the gut, as well as from the head, and be of service with our hands. And what the service is to say, okay, you live in a body, so you're doing your in-group, out-group distinction, you're going into, let's say, a caste mode and you're being having implicit racial bias and you're, let's just say, having racist reactions to things. So instead of making those people evil, what we need to do is look at that person as a human being who just hasn't reached the next stage of waking up and say, how do we invite them to come out of their excessively differentiated, unwoken, unintegrated state in a kind way, almost like someone who hasn't learned to read yet. And then you say, oh, okay, well, here's what reading is, and here's a nice book for you to try out. Because if we just go into warring camps, like they're the racists and the anti-racists and stuff like that, the risk of that is just to perpetuate the in-group, out-group stuff. And I know this is hard to do, and I'm not trying to say it in some kind of idealistic way, I mean it literally in a strategic way. We've got to bring love into our work with everyone.
Yeah.
And lead from love and lead from this open awareness. And this is where Mui comes from, because even if he's someone who isn't woken up yet and are still living in the automatic, you know, in-group, out-group distinction threat state, you know, we can actually be stronger than that. We can, you know, as Michelle Obama says, when they go low, we go high.
High.
Right? Yeah. Seriously. And high is a higher state of integration.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it is beautiful. And I'm glad that you said that, that it's, you know, in practical terms, it's not easy to do.
No.
Especially if that individual is causing harm to you, to the me, to your body, right?
It's totally.
So it's impossible to, like, how do you think to yourself, how is it possible for me not to, you know, be in that fight or flight mode and, you know, just be completely enraged. How am I supposed to love on this person in any way, shape, or form?
Yeah.
But I think the fact that the mere fact that we can pause for a minute, that we're conscious enough to even ask ourselves that question, is really that first step. Because I know that we're all struggling with that, you know, in this body that we're in this country that we're in this time period that we're living through that's completely unprecedented. So,
and Shelley, you know, when we think about the incredible work you've done with the pandemic of love, and think about love as a vital force that seems to be woven with, you know, open awareness and interconnection, the fact that we're all intra-connected, interconnected, there's this huge web of life that we live from. Love and awareness seem to go together. In the pandemic of love, one thing I've heard you say, which is so inspiring for, I think, all of us, is that when you give people the kind of setting or conditions to allow them to express both the desire to serve and also the willingness to receive, then love happens, right?
Yeah.
And I wonder if you can say something about how that experience really of bringing that incredible gift to the world is really a, you know, an example of this integrative process that Justin was referring to earlier, like this. If we can just see with our whole being through the obstacles to integration, the obstacles to love, the obstacles of kindness and compassion, and see through them, not blow them up, but see through them to the love on the other side, then in a way, our mission is to be integrationists who liberate the love, even in people who haven't woken up yet to it.
Precisely. That's exactly the point. So it's the opportunity to be able to, you know, see and hear each other in our most vulnerable states. When you set the conditions, when the conditions are ripe, when they're set in such a way where you can bring two people together who are perfect strangers, even though there really are no strangers, or people who believe that they're so fundamentally different, they look different, they're from different cultures, they're from different, you know, caste systems, they're from different, they have different beliefs. But yet, when you can boil it down to just the simplicity, and I use that word on purpose, of the human experience, we're all going through the human experience. We all really do believe that the me experience is so fundamentally different, but it's really not. Every single human being on this planet, every me, has felt love and joy and sadness and anger and just the basic range of human emotions. And so when we can connect to those things, that's where empathy, compassion arises, right? And, you know, we can, I think, build those bridges in a very real way. It's something that I experienced, you know, just with my background, looking at individuals that were the other, defined, you know, when I was growing up, these people are the others to you. You know, when I finally was able to meet the other and recognize that, wait a minute, we're human beings. We both want fundamentally the same things. That's how you can unlock love. It's true. So it's a beautiful thing.
It's so beautiful, Shelley. It's so beautiful. And Dan, like, I love that where our conversation is landing is in love, you know, and very clear-sighted love. Like that sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's challenging, sometimes we're working against evolution, you know, of what we were taught to do. But even given that, like even given that, like this idea of using race as a construct to differentiate ourselves is something that is a modern creation that we can and will together in this group undo. And I think in closing, Dan, you know, what I want to just say is, I think I'm so happy that we did this interview right in the beginning of the program, because I think this gives people a better understanding of why we're doing what we're doing, why we're actually using this infinity model, why we're separating and coming back together to honor the differentiated experiences, but then bring, it's not even bringing it together and forgetting about what happened, it's bringing all of it together so that we can learn and grow from it. And in the next week, people are gonna be experiencing that for the first time, I think, in a whole new way. So thank you, Dan, so much for joining us, for bringing your expertise to just this group, but also to my life. You know, and all of my work and personal work and understanding has shifted completely as I've understood Mui.
Totally.
You know, like I've been singing, you've heard me sing, Mui are enough, like Mui are enough, like totally separate. And the song that's coming to me right now, it's been playing in my head in the background, is Imagine by John Lennon. It's just been playing in my head like the whole time that we've been talking. So anyways, thank you, Dan, so much for being here. We're just so grateful.
My pleasure. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Shelley. It's so exciting. We is very, very honored to be here.
So just take a moment to take that in. Take a moment to take that in, y'all. How incredible. How lucky, how amazing is it, and are we, that we can stand together in this community as Mui. You know, as I was sitting here listening with all of you, I just couldn't help but think, how amazing is it that we now have this word to use as a collective? And so now I want to do that check-in with all of you again. Go ahead and put your hands over your heart for just a moment. Close your eyes. And see if you can conjure up one word that describes how you're feeling right now. One word. And as soon as you have your word, type it into the chat box. I'm still feeling grateful, but if I was adding a second word, I just feel so much peace. It's more than peace, it's like serenity. Knowing that something is possible beyond these limitations that we're in. Knowing that we can be and do and become so much more than what the media and the news and our fears might tell us. And so in this moment, right here, right now, I want you to allow yourself to feel whatever that feeling is that you're feeling. Connected, full, Catherine, abundant, yellow palm, Devin, hopeful, expanded, visionary, inspired, peace, connected, unity, full, hopeful. Close your eyes for a moment, or you can even keep them open if you want, and just let that feeling wash over you. See if you can amp up the level of that emotion just a little bit more. Sometimes when we feel these feelings like peace or hope or love, we keep them just a little in a little box because we're worried it's going to go away and something's going to go wrong. Let it flower open and like a fountain bathe you, soothe you. Let it wash over you like the ocean waves. Because this energy is yours. Uplifting and inspiring and lovable. I love all of you for coming here today. So let's jump in with our power action. Power action. Our power action for this week is going to be very, very simple. It's the most simple power action I've given you all, okay? In a moment, we're gonna do our golden nugget practice where you kind of decide what your main takeaway is. And when you choose that takeaway, I want you to commit this week to posting something about that golden nugget that you've learned, your takeaway, on social media. You don't even have to tag me or the kingdom or Dan, nothing. This is you committing to being a Mui, to spreading the message of hope and positivity and whatever it is that you've learned, you,
right there. You spreading your message and your teachings and what you've learned out into the corners of the world that I will never reach, that Dan will never reach, that Shelly will never reach, but you, there it is, you can reach. And so before we even get the golden nugget, I want you to type in the chat box, I commit. You can commit to posting it on social media, whether it's writing in a little text or sharing it with your community in a greater story, or doing an Instagram story about it, or if you're not a social media kind of person, just sharing it with your kids, sharing it with your family, sharing it with someone you love. And this is how we spread these waves of change and these messages of change around the world. And so type in, I commit, if you're ready to commit. And then let's source up our golden nugget together. So place your hands over your heart, eyes closed if you'd like, or just soften your gaze. Take a deep breath in and a deep breath out. And then just think of one thing. We learned a lot today with Dan. We covered so much. If there was one main takeaway that you want to remember, that you want to store in your long-term memory, what would that one takeaway be? Even without thinking about sharing it with anybody or whatever, because the greatest things to share are the things that are actually the most impactful for us, not what you think is going to be the most impactful for somebody else. The way that I teach everything I teach is I don't teach, I just share what I know. And I share with you all the things that are the most impactful for me. And then you find your impact and then share that with someone else. So don't think about what is going to be the coolest thing to share. What touched your heart? What impacted you the most in this session today? Take a breath in and a breath out. You know, my main takeaway, I think, is the same takeaway I tend to have these days, which is that we are stronger together and that we can have all of our differences. We don't want or need everybody to be like us. We don't need people to think like us, but we need to know that we're part of the same community. We're part of a whole, we're interconnected. And when we see that, then when we start seeing across divides, we see ourselves. We see a reflection versus, like Dan said, a piece of dirt. I see all of your chats coming through, and I'll share with you a story that I had. Just in closing, and I wasn't going to share, I was kind of debating on sharing this today, but I think it's important in this context. So a couple nights ago, I was going to sleep. I was either going to sleep or just waking up, but I was in that weird dream state, you know, when you're kind of in between sleeping and waking. And I had this vision just come forward to me that I'd never thought about before, that had never been in my awareness before. And I was actually shocked that it even came up, but I let it play out. And what I saw in the vision was a huge circle of African people, almost like Wakanda. But in my mind, they were American, but they were African people and people of the African diaspora dressed in traditional garb and wear. And in the center of the circle, sitting on the ground in the middle of the dirt, on his back and knees, kind of like this, afraid, was Donald Trump. Follow me here. So the circle is this big circle of African people, and they have these sticks, and but they're very like modern, very Wakanda-like, and they're marching forward and doing all these chants and marching forward. And as they're closing in on Donald Trump, he's like curling up and like about to scream, no. And then one of the elder African women, this long white hair, comes up very quickly and swoops and holds him up and looks down at him just as he thinks this whole group is about to just demolish him and kill him. You can see the fear in his eyes. And she looks down and she touches his heart with her hand and looks him straight in the eyes. And she just says to him, you've been through so much. You've been through so much. And she saw that little boy that was inside of Donald Trump, that had grown up with all the abuse that he grew up in. And she saw how that created everything. And it reminded me of the Native American and many indigenous traditions where when somebody does something wrong, a big wrong in their community, they don't oust them. They bring them in and allow them to heal with compassion. Now, I know it's hard for so many people to find compassion for Donald Trump, and I'm not even telling you that you need to, but on this definition of mui and this idea of evolution, if our goal really was to get him to heal or change, and him being the many hims that are around the world, how are we going to do that? Are we going to do that by hating one another? Are we going to do that by pushing people across divides and creating memes and teasing and abusing and doing the same thing where the oppressed become the oppressor? Are we going to elevate higher? Are we going to do it with love? And sometimes love looks fierce and loud and strong. And sometimes love looks soft and meek and mild. But in all of those expressions and forms, love is love. And it's never divorced from itself. And so in this moment of great unease and chaos in our world, my hope is that you may find love in your heart so that you can spread that message of hope to everyone who needs it, and so that we can heal the world. I love you all so much. I thank you so much for being here and holding even such sweet space for me to open up and be vulnerable with you all in the ways that I do. Let us close with our final prayer. Hands over the heart. God, Spirit, Universe, all that is, all that ever has been, and all that ever will be, we thank you. Thank you for bringing all of muas, yosotros, together in this spirit of love. And may we each remember, please help us remember the next time we are trying to speak across something that appears to be a divide. Help us remember that we are just looking at a reflection. God, Spirit, Universe, all that is, all that ever has been, all that ever will be, we thank you. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for this incredible moment. And we promise to be the torch carriers, the light bearers, bringing love into the integration of even the scariest shadows. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for this life. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for possibility. And thank you for Dan Siegel and his incredible wisdom, and Shelley and all of us. So special to me. Thank you, Spirit. So it is. Ashe, Aho, Salam, Shalom, Amen, Sat Nam, Om. Justin Michael Williams, signing out, and I'll meet you right here in this special place in our next session. I love you. Bye for now. Thank you for listening to the Kingdom Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd love for you to rate it or subscribe. But most importantly, to send this episode to a friend or to someone you love. The only way we're going to see change in this world is by each of us spreading messages of hope into the corners of the world where only you can reach. So send this today to someone who needs it. I'm sure they'll thank you for it. This is Justin Michael Williams, signing out. I love you, and I'll meet you right here in this special place in our next episode, where we rise together.